Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Some people need a miracle to get out of what they're in, and some of you need a principle to get out of what you're in. Now, in every miracle, there is a principle. And in every principle, there's a miracle. There's sometimes, see, some of us say, "Oh God, I need you to get me out of this debt that I'm in." And for some of you, God will release a supernatural debt cancellation miracle. And then for some of you, God might just give you a principle that you have to live out in order to work your way out. You see, that's the difference between grace and faith. Let me tell you the difference between faith and grace. Grace is what God does for you. Faith is what God does through you. Grace is what God does for you. Faith is what God does through you. So there are things that God actually wants to do through you that if you don't partner up with God to do it with him, it ain't going to happen. Hallelujah. So I don't know where you are, what season, but I want to, whether it's a principle, whether it's a miracle. Now, God will release more principles than he would miracles. If you obey a principle, you won't need a miracle. As a matter of fact, some areas in our lives where we are in lack or we're experiencing a dry season is because we're ignoring a principle. Come on. God is a God of principles. Say that. God is a God of principle. If we hearken diligently to his principles, his commands, the blessing will come as a result. But watch this. Sometimes we got to be humbled. Because there's something called pride that all of us have, and we're all learning how to die to, right? Dying to self, Jesus called it. Come on. As humble as you think you are. I thought I was the most humble person until I got married. I thought I was the most patient person in the world until I got married. All right, that's another message. Let's keep reading. Verse 3. Either way, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry. Come on. God will allow you to go hungry. To humble you. That's why I say for every Christian, people say don't say that. But it's the word. Every believer will go through some season where it seems like your finances ain't where you want it to be. And God will allow you to go through that test. It's just a test. And he uses that to humble you and to let you know, I am your provider. I am your source. Don't think it's you that's responsible for your own life. That's why people who get stressed out about money is because you think it's your job to provide for you. If that's the case, you don't need a father. It's the father's job to provide for you and take care of your needs. That's why he's reminding us he's our father. He's a good father. Come on. So watch this. He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people don't live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Come on, a word is even more important to you than food, bread. Sometimes you got to put your plate to the side and say, Lord, I need a word from you. Because one word will change everything. I want you to see this. You need a revelation in this season. Verse 4, for all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out, and your feet didn't blister or swell. Come on, look at somebody next to you and say, you don't look like what you've been through, because God has been keeping you. Come on, you don't look like God has been still keeping you, even in your time of rebellion. Even in a time of disobedience, he still kept you. That's how good he is. But I want us to transition from this place of survival. I don't want us to live from mercy to mercy. God wants us to live from faith to faith and from glory to glory, not mercy to mercy. We put ourselves in situations and God has to stretch his hand and just take us out and save us. But I'm telling you, there is a place called a wealthy place where you're on the other side of blessing. What I mean by that is, you know, there's two sides of blessing. It's when you're on the side where you need somebody to bless you, and the other side of blessing is when God uses you to bless others. I want to be on that side. That God could wake me up in the middle of the night and say, hey, somebody needs $5,000 to pay their bills. Come on, write a check. Come on, who wants that place? Come on, then God can use you to be the one releasing the blessing. Why you got to be the one always waiting for the blessing to come to you? The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So God wants to raise up some people that he can be the ones to use to call on and say, God, well, somebody says, well, son, I need you to meet the need for my son and my daughter. And you got it in the bank to do it. See, wealth is not just for you. It's not for you to stunt and to show off and prove people wrong. Come on, wealth is about you fulfilling the will and desires of God on the earth. And you need money to do it. Don't let anybody fool you. Somebody told me the other day, prosperity and pastor shouldn't be in the same sentence. The pastor and prosperity is not supposed to mix. I said, what Bible are you reading? Right? I don't know where we get this stuff from, that a pastor is supposed to be poor and he's supposed to not have anything. Say it again. See, this false humility that we think that if a person has too much money, money's going to corrupt them. Listen, you know, I've been playing around with some of those myths, like the money is the root to all evil and all that stuff. And I thought about it from the opposite end. Money is not the root of all evil. Money is the root of all philanthropy. This, I have more money, I can give more. I can bless more people. I can help more people. Right? The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. Not money. The love of it. But when we have money, we can give more of it away. And God can supply more of it to us because he knows that we're not going to keep it all for ourselves. That's it. So when we keep reading, verse 5, we're going to read up to like verse 9 or something. Verse 5, think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him, honoring him, reverencing him. For the Lord your God, this is a prophetic word now, for you, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and the hills. And it is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. Sounds like something we're going to have in our juice bar. It is a land where food is plentiful, abundant, and nothing is lacking. Woo! It is a land where iron is as common as stone, and copper is abundant in the hills. This is the place God is taking you. This is the land God is bringing us in. It's called a good land. And in this good land, he says that you will not be lacking anything. There will be no scarcity in this land, only abundance in this land. In this place, in this territory that God is inviting you, inviting us, inviting you into, God says it's going to be a place, he says that it's going to be a place where streams and springs are coming up, water in the valleys and the hills. It's a place of multiple sources of income. A place of multiple sources of income and revenue. Got water coming up here, water coming down here, water flowing here. That's the type of land God is calling you to occupy. He says it's going to be barley and wheat and pomegranate and figs, everything we ever need. Copper and stone for ingenuity and innovation and creativity. Natural resources. God is saying everything you need in this season, I'm going to give it to you. And all you got to do is obey me. All you gotta do is believe me. See, too many people don't believe. See, people think that God is anti-wealth and anti-prosperity, anti-riches. And so people secretly desire this stuff and believe they have to go around God to get this stuff. But if we truly believe that this is the nature and the heart of God, we will pray differently. We will live differently. We will become positively aggressive in our pursuit of wealth. That we won't simply allow the wicked to get all the money. themselves, and then we complain about the rich people who don't know God, who do what they want with it. Instead of complaining about it, we can simply go to God and say, God, well, you're the one who gives us the power to get wealth. Here's another thing you want to know. Nobody is wealthy in this world without God's permission. Because he gives the power to get wealth. You want to know why God will allow a wicked person to have wealth? Because he's going to give it to people who know what to do with it. God will allow a wicked person to have wealth just because he knows they honor money enough to do it, so do something with it. They're going to invest, they're going to build, they're going to do, they're going to, you know, they're going to continue to make good usage of the funds that he gives them. But the Bible says, what? The wealth of the wicked is waiting for the righteous. So they're like caregivers and guardians, just taking care of wealth until the appointed time and the righteous start getting bold enough to rise up and start taking authority in this land. This is why we're in a season where God is pushing us forward into an identity where we realize wealth and abundance is our inheritance. It's your right. Christians are supposed to be wealthy. Christians are supposed to walk in wealth. Christians are supposed to have a lot of money. Christians are supposed to be wealthy. Not just the Jews. You too. Come on, you gotta say amen. You got to agree with it. All right, let's keep reading. We're almost past this. Verse 10. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plentiness, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous. You see, this is what God is waiting for. When you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in. This is what's on God's mind. Next verse. And when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else. So don't go to the be careful part yet. Just think about that. When this happens, he says be careful. So right now, this is not the time to be careful. Because I learned something. It's better to err on the side of faith than it is on the side of caution. Here's what religious people do who don't understand this. Every time you try to take a step of faith, they'll tell you, you know, you gotta use wisdom. You gotta use wisdom. You wanna invest in bitcoins? You better use wisdom. You wanna invest in real estate? Use wisdom. To what? To try to talk you into a place of doubt. Doubt is code word for fear. Doubt is code for fear. Religious people will mask fear as wisdom. I'm telling you. You want to pray for the sick? You want to lay hands on somebody? Be careful. They might have a spirit. And that spirit might jump on you. I thought with sin abounds, grace abounds even more. I thought the Holy Ghost was stronger than any spirit out there. Come on! Religion will use fear and call it wisdom. No, the wisdom of God says, fear me. Fear my word. Fear my commands. And if I tell you you can walk on water, you can walk on water. If I tell you you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If I tell you that I'm calling you to a place where your silver and gold is going to multiply and you're going to move into a place of abundance, believe that. And don't let religious people talk you out of what God is doing in your life. Come on, I'm preaching already. Come on. Oh, man. Look at that. We're very large, silver and gold multiplying. Can you see that happening for you? Woo! Come on, go back to the verse before that. Can you see yourself in that fine home? Come on. When you become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in. What is it? A condo? A mansion? What you want? And don't say New York is too expensive either. Don't say Brooklyn is too expensive. The same God who can take care of you in Georgia or Florida or South Carolina can take care of you right here in this city. Come on. He said, if you obey me, you'll be blessed in the city and you'll be blessed in the field. Anywhere God has you, you are blessed. You are blessed to prosper, church. And these are all the things we believe that we talk ourselves out of the blessing of God. Woo. If you're in a big city, you serve a big God, which means that God will have a big blessing in store for you. So when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large, and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Verse 14, do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Come on. The days of you being a slave to the systems of this world are over. The days of you being a slave. I see a lot of people who are my complexion in here. And I know we hear a lot of things about, you know, the systematic injustices against our race and all the plans to keep us down, which are true. But that's one reality. In the kingdom, you're born again to a new reality. So who you are in Christ supersedes who you are in America. Come on, do you believe that? The rules that are applied to Gentiles and those who don't know Christ don't apply to you because you're in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in the earth. That is your reality. That is what you live from. That's what you live out of. And I identify with those that are of my color. And I want to help us succeed. I want us to overcome. But I'm telling you, there's so many people who feel we're just too far gone, that black people can't make it out, you know, after 400 years of programming, that we're still going to, you know, we're never going to come together, we're never going to be able to move as one. Those are all lies. Come on, we're moving as one. And that's the prophetic word over our house, right? That we're moving as one into wealth. We're moving as one into prosperity. It's already starting. Come on, we're breaking the odds. That's the power of a church. When a church walks together like this, we can defeat any odds in this world. Next verse. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness period with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. Listen, the stuff that we endured as a people and have still made it through in this day and hour, it was the hand of God and the hand of God alone. So you got to realize the victory is already on us. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. Two more verses. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the power to be successful or to have wealth in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. All right? I'm going to pause right there. You may have your seats. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, to be successful. Now, I'm almost done. The word preached for itself. But I'm so optimistic. I'm so wide-eyed right now. I'm so excited about what God is doing in this season. And, you know, it's so much that I want to say. Ryan said, I didn't go a traditional route because we're not talking so much about, you know, how to invest. We're not talking about how to budget and all that stuff. Yes, that stuff is important. And I feel like next year we're going to spend a lot more time going over this, the more practical stuff regarding money. But I just really feel like God just needed to bring his people up into a fresher perspective where we're not just simply depending on our own strength or our own energy to try to get wealth or to bring ourselves out of debt. But God wants us to mix our faith with our finances, and he wants to bless us or prosper us in ways that only he will get the glory for what happened in our lives. I love the supernatural because I believe God is a supernatural God. And when God does things in our lives, it should have a supernatural element to it. He's the God of awe. He's the God of wonder. He's the God of mystery. And I really feel like people have lost their wow. They've lost their awe of God. You know, God wants to bring us back to that place where we stand in awe of him. And praise won't have to be forced on a Sunday. We'll be excited to praise him. We'll be excited to celebrate him because we are seeing what only he can do in our lives. The results that only God can bring in our lives. You know? So as we, as I was getting ready to share this word, God said, remind them of the prophetic word that has come forth in this house. That we are going to move up financially as we move as one. That this is going to be a corporate anointing. That we are going to prosper as one. We are going to win as one. We are going to grow our financial portfolios as one. We are going to buy homes and investment properties as one. It's no fun to succeed on your own. That's actually one of the most loneliest feelings. To succeed, you're all by yourself. And so, when God is allowing us to do something that's unprecedented, unity, the unity that we're going to walk in this season, I'm telling you, and I want us to really take a hold of what's happening in this moment, to pay attention to the signs and the times of this hour. When God set the people of Israel free, he didn't set a few free at a time, right? They all were free at once. They all walked out of Egypt together as one. As our sister Gia and Adrian are saying, one heart, one mind. Come on, we're moving as one. Say, we're moving as one. So the prophetic word is important for us to carry. So it's important for us to remember, to hold on to. Because if this is what God is saying and this is what God is doing, it's your responsibility to keep the prophetic word in mind. A prophetic word has two important properties, and I want you to write this down. The prophetic word, or any prophetic word, any word God is important because it does two things. Number one, it gives your mind a picture to focus on. And number two, it gives you a forecast. It gives you a forecast so you can dress appropriately. A prophetic word gives you a picture to focus on. And one thing you need to know about the mind, or the law of the mind, is that if you cannot see it in your mind, you cannot see it in your life. If you can't see yourself being something in your mind, you can never be that thing in your own life. You will only manifest what you hold onto in your mind. That's what the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What he will become, what you will become, is a picture of what you believe about yourself, what you believe you can have, what you believe you can do. So a prophetic word is God saying, I'm giving you a picture of fine homes you live in, a place of plenty, a place of abundance. And it's your job to get that word and meditate on it, like we learned last week, internalize, dwell on it, and see yourself experiencing what God says you have. Now, I meet a lot of unfulfilled church people. I meet a lot of church people who come to church every week and are miserable, are sad, are depressed, because they just don't see the word working for them. They don't see the word at work in their own lives. And then the tendency is to blame God, blame the church, blame your pastor, blame somebody else for what's not happening. But do you know the Bible actually says that in Joshua 1 verse 8, that you the one who prospers yourself? Joshua 1:8, he said, you shall meditate on this word day and night. What else is going to happen? As you meditate on this word day and night, then you shall make your way prosperous and have good success. So there's something that you have to do to make your way prosperous and see success in your life. That's meditating on a prophetic word. It's internalizing that word long enough for it to pass through your mind and enter into your heart, because when it enters into your heart, then it becomes who you are. It becomes real to you. That means that you have to spend time going over the word of God. Before you can have something in your hand, you must first have it in your mind. You will only do what you see yourself doing. You will only have what you see yourself having. You will only be what you see yourself being. You meet any NBA player, they'll tell you, at 6 years old, I saw myself playing in the NBA. Wealth does not happen accidentally. Wealth is not a miracle. I want you to write that down. Wealth is not a miracle. You will not become wealthy unintentionally. You have to decide to be wealthy. That's what I've been saying. When God said choose life or choose death, it's your job to choose life. God says choose prosperity or choose poverty. Unless you make a choice or decide to be wealthy, you won't be. I'm going to tell you something about my life. As far as I can remember, I always saw myself having just enough. And I always told myself, I don't want to be rich. I just want enough to take care of me and my family. As far as I can remember, maybe 14, 15 years old. And now, over 15 years later, I realize I am exactly where I saw myself 15 years ago. I have enough to take care of me, my family, enough to have fun and enjoy myself, but I'm not walking in the overflow and the abundance that God promised me. Why? Because I chose this life. And now I'm repenting of that. See, we think repentance is only about sin. It's all the stuff you believe that's wrong. So I'm repenting of that, and I'm saying, wait a minute, God, you want me wealthy. You want me to live in a place of plenty and fullness and abundance so I can be a blessing and be generous every day of my life. So now that I'm repenting about this, my financial portfolio income is about to take off. And I'm not going to delay my blessings. I'm not going to hinder myself or walk away from opportunities like I've been doing for the past 10 years. I'm going to step into all that God has created me to be. And I'm going to allow my life to change for the better. God said to tell you today, wealth starts with change. I want you to write that down. Wealth starts with change. If you don't want to change, you don't want to be wealthy. Why? Because as we move upwards financially, remember we talked about how there's five classes of economic groups. There are very poor, poor, middle class, rich, and very rich. And our goal in life should be, our goal right now should be wherever we are currently is to move upwards so that if you're very poor today, you move to the poor. And if you're poor, you'll move up to middle class. And if you're middle class right now, you're going to move up to be rich. And if you're rich, you want to move up to a place where you're very rich. Right? We want to be thinking upward mobility. Most times we say we want the rich or the super rich to give all their money away so that they can become poor, so we can feel better about ourselves. No. We should be thinking upward mobility. Everybody increases. Everyone moves up. Do you know that there's more than enough to go around for everybody to be rich in this world? There's more than enough for every one of us in this room to be millionaires. And we don't have to feel like, well, somebody else has more than me, so I got to take money from them. No, we can all prosper together. There's an abundance of opportunities for each and every one of us to succeed in our own lanes and the places that God has called us. And that's why we got to bypass the scarcity mindset and the belief that there's not enough. You know, the enemy wants you to believe that there's not enough in this world. And when you don't have a sense of abundance in any area of your life, you can't rest. The rest that God wants us to live in, walk in, live from, is the rest that comes from the assurance that there's an abundance available for us. A person who doesn't feel that there are enough opportunities for them stress themselves out. Right? You ever been in a place where you couldn't find work or you couldn't find a job? And so you begin to get into a place where you're complaining and you're angry and you feel down on yourself. But the minute you break out of that place is when you come to a realization that, wait a minute, God is able to meet my needs when he wants to meet it. And I don't have to stress or worry about it because he will take care of me. Just like how he's taking care of you now. But I said that one thing that you need to realize is that wealth begins with what? Change. Everybody say change. Change is the current of wealth creation. Change is the current of wealth creation. God initiates change in the earth to level the playing field so that everyone gets opportunities. If God didn't allow change to happen, people who are rich, very rich today will remain very rich forever. People who are very poor today will be very poor forever. But change is a constant in life because God allows change so that every day he can level the playing field so people will get opportunities to change their lives for the better. Now we know God never changes. But everything under the sun changes, right? Why? Because change is the property in which God God allows new opportunities to come to us. More comes to you in the form of change. I find it interesting, right, that we call the lowest amount of money change. I guess, you know, you got change in your pockets. And people will overlook change and think that it's insignificant. But there's an abundance of change. There's an abundance of change. People who may not even have a lot or may not have dollars, they'll have change. Now, I want you to answer me this. Does change make sense or does it make dollars? Change makes dollars. Does it make sense? Wealthy people understand that wealthy people understand that change is important. Wealthy people don't walk over change on the street. They pick it up. Wealthy people don't look at a nickel or a dime and think it's insignificant. They'll value a change. They'll value 10 cents. They'll value 5 cents. Why? Because change matters. I'm going somewhere in 3 minutes and 30 seconds. See, change is abundance because change is for everyone. Change is cheap. Everyone can afford it. Everyone can afford to change. Every one of you have change right now. And it's in you to change because that is how God is going to move you up the ladder of success. You cannot remain the person you are today and expect to be the person God sees you tomorrow if you don't change. It's amazing how people today wish to be rich and want to be rich, but they don't want to change. Where you are right now in your life is simply a byproduct or an overflow of your current beliefs, right? Your current attitudes, your current habits. Where you are right now is simply a basis of everything you've done with what you have been given. Now, if I'm going to move upwards, to move from middle class to rich or poor to middle class or wherever, if I'm moving upwards from rich to very rich, I have to realize that I cannot be the same person I am right now to be the person that I want to be tomorrow. So I have to embrace change, not resist change, but I have to embrace change. I got to look for change. I got to look for opportunities for change. Somebody said there are three types of people in the world. People that make change happen or make things happen, people who watch things happen, and people who wonder what happened. And the people that make things happen or make change happen are usually wealthy. The people who wonder what happened, or I'm saying the people who watch things happen are usually the comfortable or the middle class. And the people who wonder what happened are the poor class. Why? Because they're not in the know. One thing that keeps people poor is the lack of knowledge. So they don't even know what's going on. Maybe what's changed, you're like, what's going on? Who are these people buying up all these properties? What's happening? Not knowing that that's been in the works for 10 years. And we were left in the dark. So when I say change is an opportunity that God releases to us, those who remain poor are frightened by change. Those who are comfortable are threatened by change. But those who are ready to be wealthy are inspired by change. Come on, how do you react to change? God showed me, he said, change. One thing that change does is change reveals who you are. Think about it. Are you the type of person that gets angry when unexpected change comes your way? If you do, then that means you got anger in you. Do you complain when unexpected change comes? Then that means you have some ungratefulness still in you. Are you afraid? rain when matters that you didn't expect and change comes upon you when you're not ready for it, are you afraid? Then that means you still have fear, too much fear on the inside of you. You have to learn how to expect and anticipate change because it's the only constant in life. Wealth management starts with change management. Wealth management starts with change management. How you manage change determines if you can handle wealth. See, we think if we put $5 million in somebody's hand, that that's going to make them rich or wealthy. To think that way is like saying, if I put a basketball in somebody's hand, that they're an NBA player. If I put a football in somebody's hand, then that means they're in the NFL. Right? Putting money in $1 million in a person's hand doesn't mean they're wealthy or rich. Why? Because you have to, just like an NBA player has to go through years of training, years of conditioning, right? And development in order to become the person that makes it to the NBA. Likewise, you're not just going to be wealthy or rich just by getting some money. What you need to do is develop the capacity to learn, to unlearn and relearn. This is why change comes to you. Change comes. The purpose of change is to change us. The purpose of change is to change you. Not to. I don't want to go there. The purpose of change is to change you. Remember what I said? If you don't like change, you like chains. If you don't like change, you like chains. You want to stay where you are. But the purpose of change comes is so that it can change you. God allows opportunities to come your way. I got to wrap up. Who is it? There's an acronym I like about poor, of being poor. Right? That poor stands for passing over opportunities regularly. Passing over opportunities regularly. You know why? Because the opportunities come every week, every day, however it comes. Opportunities come for you to grow and for you to learn so that you can begin to improve yourself, to become the person that you need to be in order to become the person God has in mind. Change is the vehicle God uses to change us. Poor people resist the opportunities. Poor people look at the opportunities and say, you know what? That's not for me. Or we'll find every excuse in the book to avoid change. That's what we're really running from. That's what we're really running from. I cannot, if I'm going to be wealthy today, tomorrow, then that means I have to make some new decisions today. That's why I say a prophetic word is a forecast. If I say you're going to be a millionaire next year, guess what? You need to begin to adjust or make changes today so that you won't be that you won't stay in this state next year. If I tell you it's going to be a 2-foot storm tomorrow, that's a weather forecast. What do you do today? You get some salt. You make sure you got some boots. You make sure you have shovels. You change all your plans today to prepare for the winter storm tomorrow. A forecast prepares you for what's ahead so that you won't be unprepared. Church, what I'm saying to you today is that when you hear a prophetic word like this, you should be doing everything in your power to position yourself to say, I want to seize this opportunity when it comes. I don't want to be left in the dark. I don't want to be unprepared because, wealthy people don't become rich because they were in the right place at the right time. There's one more thing you need to add to that equation. You have to be the right person in the right place at the right time. You have to be the kind of person that's ready for the opportunities when it comes. And what you need to begin to do is embrace change and understand that I have to learn, unlearn, and relearn to be the person that God wants me to be. that wealthy man, that wealthy woman. There's some new habits you need to form. There's some new mindsets you need to begin to form, right? You can't spend like how you used to spend last year if you're going to be wealthy tomorrow. Obviously, if not, you're going to be in the same place next year. As I close, Alvin Toffler, I love this guy. He's a futurist. He died last year in 2016. He has this quote where he says, "The illiterate of the future will not be the person who cannot read. It will be the person who does not know how to learn." The illiterate of the future will not be the person who cannot read or write. It will be the person who does not know how to learn, unlearn, and relearn. If you don't learn how to change with the times, you will be equipped to deal with a world that doesn't exist anymore. If you don't learn how to change, you will be unequipped to deal with a world that does not exist anymore. Some of us are still using 1970s tactics to try to deal with 2017 issues. That's 80% of the church. I gotta end. The reason why the church is always 20 years behind the world, because we don't want to change. We want everybody else in the world to change but us. We want everybody to change to us. We say the world needs to change. I say the church needs to change. Whether we change or not, the world is changing. And if we're going to keep up with the times, we got to be willing to allow God to change us so that we can be prepared to not just catch up with the world, but to become ahead of the world. Because God wants to give us insight and foresight, revelation, prophetic in our words, so that we can be prepared to handle change when it comes. Amen? But every believer, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you should love change. Because God is a God of change. Amen? Say, I love change. Change is good. Change creates opportunities for me to improve myself and to increase my wealth. If I don't change, if I remain the same, I will be unequipped to deal with a world that doesn't exist anymore. I don't want to be left behind. Come on. One of my greatest fears is to be irrelevant. One of my greatest fears is to be irrelevant. Those who are irrelevant are people who have not kept up with the times. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. If you keep up with the times, you will always be relevant. People don't want to hear from the church because the church is behind. The church has been, like I said, we're stuck on our traditions, and we believe that our traditions are right. And our methods are right. And what we used to do 20 years ago should be the same things we're doing today. No, we got to change the way church is done. We got to change the way we do what we're doing. That's why we're investing. That's why we're starting a juice bar. That's why we're partnering up to get us ready to start businesses. What church you know has been doing stuff like this? Come on. Why? Because you know what? One complaint people have about the church is that we always ask for money, but we don't do nothing with the money. Right? Everybody in here got somebody that could probably tell you that, or you probably believe that. Now, we're changing the conversation. AP and I were talking about this, and I'm done. He said, "Pastor, what we're doing is so powerful because imagine a church where you're actually gaining money and not losing money. How many people will want to come to a church?" church like that. Come on. A church that's making you prosperous. A church that's making you rich. A church that's teaching you how to be wealthy. Come on, who wouldn't want to be a part of something like that? And if there's one thing our community needs are churches that know how to prosper and teach their people to prosper. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, come on, I want you guys to repent with me because I know some of you in this room don't like change. But the Lord said, if you don't like change, if that's you, stand up, just stand and repent with me. If you don't like change, if you find yourself saying that too often, just stand with me. We're going to repent. This is an altar call right in where you are. Amen. Wealth starts with change. Change is the process by which the future invades my life. I'm ready to change. I'm ready for change. Lord, change is good when it comes from you. And I won't reject. I won't be afraid. I won't resist the opportunities to change as it comes. I'm ready to grow financially. And whatever you need to do in me to get me to the place, my wealthy place, I'm willing to be obedient. Discipline me. Correct me. Change my habits. Change my spending habits. Change my beliefs. Change my attitudes. Every negative word that I have spoken over my life and I've spoken over others with money, I ask that you forgive me and cause me to repent. From the inside out, I want to be ready for the opportunities to prosper as it comes my direction. Now lift up your hands with me. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to see God giving you confidence, boldness in this season. That you're not going to talk yourself out of opportunities when it comes. Some of you need to change eating habits, change your circles, change your friendships even. Some of you need to change the places that you work. Everything that needs to change, we're asking you, Lord, give us the grace to change. For change is the kingdom. Change is the kingdom's way in life.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.